At 6:20, this is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Developers behind the Texas bullet train promised to shuttle travelers between Dallas and Houston in 90 minutes have released unofficial designs of a station just outside of downtown Dallas. KERA's Stephanie Kuo reports.
The plan is to build the train terminal on a 60-acre plot just south of the K.B. Lee Hutchison Convention Center in the Cedars neighborhood, where Interstates 30 and 35 meet. Texas Central Partners, a private company developing the high-speed rail, released maps and conceptual renderings Monday. The designs are still pending, but they show a multi-level station between South Riverfront Boulevard and Austin Street, with links to nearby roads and other forms of transportation, like light rail and buses. Holly Reed is the managing director of external affairs at Texas Central. She says the station will not only stimulate economic growth in the area by attracting retail, restaurants, and apartments, the entire rail line makes Dallas a key player in the bid for Amazon's new headquarters.
Within an hour and a half, my business can double the market that it can serve. That's incredible. When you think about Amazon and their need for 50,000 employees, you can now reliably get back and forth between the 7 million people in the North Texas area and about the 7 million people in the Houston area. So you're creating a super economy that hasn't existed before.
The Federal Railroad Administration identified the station location as the preferred spot in its draft environmental statement released in December. While supporters say the rail relieves traffic congestion and creates economic opportunity, opponents, primarily rural landowners in the path of the train's route, worry about how the train could cut through their property and hurt their communities. Texas Central will have to purchase thousands of properties across the state to pull off the roughly $12 billion project. The company plans to finance it through private investments and possibly federal loans. Developers say they hope to break ground in late 2018 or early 2019, with the first train rolling out in 2023. Stephanie Kuo, KERA News.
Texas Central is holding meetings in the counties along the bullet train's route. The Dallas County meeting is tonight until 9 at Wilmer Hutchins High School. The meeting in Navarro County is also tonight at the same time at Corsicana Middle School. America was built on the founding principle that all men are created equal, and yet the original 13 colonies all allowed slavery. Today on St. Chris Boyd talked with Harvard Law professor Annette Gordon Reed about how slavery helped create white unity in the United States.
It gave people someone to look down upon, number one, but it also gave something to people to aspire to. Everybody wants to be a homeowner, right? There were people who aspired to be slave owners as well. What people don't acknowledge or don't know very much is that the system of renting enslaved people or hiring enslaved people was a part of the society as well. So there were people who may not have been able to own slaves, but they could rent an enslaved person for a time period. So if you think about property, any kind of property that is valuable, people want to possess it. So the fact that not everybody owns slaves doesn't change the fact that owning property and owning that species of property was an aspiration. The other thing, too, is the slave system propped up the economy overall. It's like saying that if you don't own a home, home ownership has nothing to do with the economic situation you're living in. That's not true. It affects interest rates. It affects credit. It affects everything. And if you think of enslaved people in the same way, it affected the society as a whole. So not everybody owned slaves, but it affected the lives of everyone.
Annette Gordon Reed's article, America's Original Sin, appears in Foreign Affairs magazine. This episode of Think airs tonight at 10, and you can subscribe to the podcast at think.kera.org. When Barack Obama gave his farewell address last year, he told his supporters democracy requires action.
If you're disappointed by your elected officials, grab a clipboard, get some signatures, and run for office yourself.
One group that took that message to heart, people who worked in his administration. Dozens of former Obama officials are running for office across the country, including in Texas. KERA's Christopher Connolly takes us to the 32nd Congressional District in Dallas and its northeast suburbs, where three Obama alumni are making their case to win the Democratic nomination and take on Republican Pete Sessions.
When Colin Allred goes door to door, he says he wants even his knocking to sound friendly because first impressions matter.
Hi, Mr. Dickerson.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Colin Allred. I'm a Democrat running for Congress here. Let's see if I can introduce myself to you.
Allred is a former NFL linebacker who went on to serve in the Obama administration. He went to school nearby, he says, grew up with a single mom, and went to college on a football scholarship. But he says you shouldn't have to be a ball player to get an opportunity to go to college.
Social mobility is going down in this country. Opportunity is going away. And the American dream, you know, is on life support. And as somebody who has been able to live my version of the American dream, you know, I feel it really strongly that we have to do this now. We can't wait.
Allred was a civil rights lawyer in the Department of Housing and Urban Development under Obama. And he says watching President Donald Trump's team start unraveling the work they did helped cement his decision to run for Congress.
You know, the work that we did at HUD was something that really affected people on a day-to-day basis. Seeing the approach they took to it made me feel like that we were going to have a reaction here in 2018.
That's a common sentiment for many of the Obama alumni running for office this year, from California to Michigan, Colorado to New Jersey. Lillian Salerno was a political appointee in the Agriculture Department. She's also running in the 32nd District, and she says hyperpartisanship in Washington has stymied good policy.
Just because it says Obama or Bush or whatever, it's just crazy that you go and you just tear down stuff because the other guy did it. I think there's really good ideas, and I'm somebody, if it's a good idea, if it doesn't come from someone in my party, I'll listen.
I met Salerno at Jimmy's Food Store. It's an Italian market in Dallas where her Sicilian immigrant grandmother used to shop. The lawyer turned small business owner worked on rural economic development issues under Obama, and she says undermining the federal government hurts real people.
Guess what? The capital markets don't go and put broadband in those last miles in these small communities. There is no clean water without the government in some of these small communities. We're a first world country. We got to take care of our people.
Having spent some time working in the Obama administration can give candidates some street cred among Democrats, according to the University of Virginia political analyst Jeffrey Skelly. He says it can also help with fundraising or endorsements.
Serving in the administration could open up the connections you might need to run a credible congressional campaign.
And right now, Skelly says there's good reason for Democrats to tout their ties to Obama.
Barack Obama left office fairly popular, you know, with an approval rating above 50%. And a very high approval rating, close to 90% among Democrats.
Republicans say they're more than happy to have Democratic challengers embrace their Obama connections. Jack Pandel is a spokesman for the National Republican Campaign Committee, which works to elect Republicans to the House of Representatives.
We see it as a legacy of big government, of slow job growth, heavy-handed regulation, you know, weak foreign policy. I just don't think that the American people, particularly in Texas, of all places, really have an appetite for that.
Perhaps unsurprisingly, Democratic candidate Ed Meyer has a different read on politics here in Dallas. The former State Department official worked on Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign, and he says his candidacy stems from a question his daughter asked after Donald Trump was elected.
Daddy, is Donald Trump going to do all those mean things he said he was going to do?
Meyer is the best funded among the seven Democrats running for the nomination, including immigration attorney George Rodriguez and former TV reporter Brett Shipp. Like the other Obama alumni, though, Meyer only really wants to talk about taking on Republican Pete Sessions in November.
People want someone who values treating people with dignity and respect and who's going to listen to, you know, to their community and represent them in Washington and really go up there to solve problems, not toe a party line.
No matter which Democrat wins, it'll be an uphill battle. Sessions has been in Congress for 2 decades. He's got a lot of money in the bank. And it's not clear if having the Obama administration on your resume will help to beat him. Christopher Connolly, KERA News.
Mostly clear skies in store for us this evening. Should be a low around 31 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny with a high near 61. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.